when the pages from the added or the missing part of Aris HaTorah, that you have the photostat on page 321, Ais Ches. Of course, what we've been learning, I'm not sure if we'll finish the entire, we'll skip around a little bit to get, I want to get back into the Sefer, but what we're learning in the second part of the Sefer, Rav Kook is crying and begging, and calling out to the generation before Mashiach to return to that missing part of who we are, the missing part that's been ignored of Torah, in order to be able to come to that missing part of ourselves. And he continues in Ois Ches, L'kuyye manachno harbei. Now here in Ois Ches, Rav Kook is telling us that this revolution that he was seeking, this return, a revolutionary return to the way Yiddishkeit was, must be led by great people. It can't be left like anything else. It can't be left in the hands of the Hamayin Am. It needs to be dafke through the guidance and the wisdom of those who are great in Torah, so that the Hamayin Am, so that Amcha Yisrael, the Hashem's people, should be able in a healthy and good way return to the Eitz HaChaim, to the Tree of Life. And Rav Kook was very distressed over the fact that he couldn't find in Yerushalayim. He couldn't find a group of like-minded Gedolim and Tzaddikim to join him in this undertaking. And this is what he discusses in Ois Ches. L'kuyye manachnu harbei. We are very handicapped. We are very, very handicapped by the fact that most who are Shomer Torah and who are learning Torah, most of the cream of the crop of creation, Jews who are learning Torah and are observing mitzvahs, do not have the hachav iyunis v'sichlus bashkofa gevoya, do not have an expansive, deep hashkofa, deep way of looking at Yiddishkeit, of understanding Yiddishkeit. Again, as we've been learning, there might be great scholars in terms of halacha and so on, but hachov iyunis v'sichlus v'hashkofa gevoa, with a high-minded, exalted hashkofa, hayichol lach b'ikarim gedolim, that has the ability to embrace within it great mountains, ideas, and ways of thinking and seeing things. But on the other hand, he said, what we do have, what's interesting, is that there are many Jews in the generation who are Bali Histaklus Rechava, who do have an expansive way of seeing things, who do have a very big and broad picture, a way of looking at and are seeking the meaning of life and so on. She'enim klal yoidim regalim ba'anka shel Torah. But these people are completely removed from the depths of learning, meaning from halacha, from gemara, from the meat and potatoes of Yiddishkeit. So it's just an odd thing. what seems to have taken place, Rav Kook says, is that on the one hand you have Jews who are great Talmid Chachamim, who can rattle off Mesechtes by heart, who are brilliant in Pilpulishal Torah, in learning Torah. But when it comes to, there was a book that was written years ago, but when it comes to, I guess we would, to just adapt from that, but when it comes to spiritual or emotional IQ, they're not scoring high. Tremendous knowledge in the ins and outs of halacha, but without a breath and hashkofa and histaklus, a way of seeing things in a big way. And then on the other hand, you have Jews who are looking at things in that way, but they're missing the basics when it comes to Limud HaTorah and Shemiras HaMitzvos. Or even if they're keeping mitzvahs, he says, or behergel pnimi b'shmirasa. There might be people who are keeping mitzvahs, but without any deep connection to Shemiras HaMitzvos. Okay. And as a result of this, chaserim eila ve'eila. So both are missing. Both are lacking. Chaserim eila ve'eila, echad ha'yesoides ha'mechayim umamidim es ha'yichidim al bosis klali kavua. Both are missing that which is necessary as a foundation to give life and to establish the lives of Jews, that it should be on a al-basis kloli kavua, that it should be on a strong and solid foundation. We need a shidduch between these two kaiches, and that what's particularly urgent is that those who are great in halacha and those who are medaktik, who are careful in keeping mitzvahs, that they should be Isaac involved in harchov iyunus v'sichlus v'ashkofa gevoya, and so on. And therefore, Rav Kook says, v'i efshe hadava lov l'day tikkun, and therefore the terrible maksev that we're in, that we've been describing in this entire parak, the terrible matzav that we're in can't really be fixed. V'e'ef shahador v'lo v'lidei tikkun kim ayidei shenegadel es ha'esek ha'ayuni v'achelek ha'ra'ayoni shebetayra, unless we increase, we strengthen dafka among those who are careful with mitzvahs, and those who are learning Torah, the study of the chelak ha'ra'ayoni, of those parts of Torah that are not just Gemara and Halacha, pnimius ha'Torah. Kol kach ad shi'yeh hadavar mukhra u'mufursam. This needs to be increased. This needs to be strengthened to such a degree, so much. Ad shi'yeh hadavar mukhra u'mufursam, until it becomes well known, becomes known to everybody, and it's clear. Shegedolei harayin shi Yisrael yudavke chasid Yisrael gedolei ge'arinayin. That those who are great in their understanding of the inner light of Torah, adavke the great tzaddikim and the great geniuses of Limud HaTorah. There was no suffix by the Vilna Gaon. There's no question that the Vilna Gaon, that same Vilna Gaon who was the greatest of the generation and of many generations in Gemara and Halacha, that same person was the light of all of Klal Yisrael in Pnimius HaTorah, with the inner light of Torah, who lived every moment in a place of Shevisa Hashem Nerek Yisomid with Hashem, and who was constantly learning and writing and teaching, albeit to a small circle of students, the inner light of Torah. There's no question. The same one, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai of the Gemara is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai of the Zohar HaKadosh. It wasn't like, as we saw earlier, that we have a situation where you have Talmid Chacham that when you want to talk to them about something in Pnimius, about something about life of what it means to live as a Jew, so the answer is no, that's not my inyan. My inyan is not the hidden Torah. But you see Keseda, statements like this being made even in Svarim in recent generations. The latest things you'll see in certain Kabbalah Svarim that are coming out, that you'll have Haskamas written by Rabban who will say in Haskama, I give my approval of this sefer, even though ain't chelik min the stars. I don't have anything to do with learning the Pnimius HaTorah. So Miman of Shachat. So usually what they're saying is, I know him to be a very fine person, so probably there's good stuff inside the sefer for those who are, but I'm not such a person. And Rav Kook says this is the terrible, terrible plague of our generation. That the leaders and the teachers of Torah and those who are in their observance of mitzvahs, wonderful, and chassidim, strong, careful with their shemiras mitzvahs, are dafka not the ones who are at the forefront of teaching what it means to be a Jew. It's a pachad. They're teaching what to do as a Jew, but not how to think and how to feel. And this is something that the Yeshiva Bachurim feel in a very, very acute way, very, very acute way, when they don't really have someone to talk to for hadracha. Or even more frightening is when the person who is, let's say, the Talmud Chacham, who knows the Gemara, who knows the halacha, and he's being asked questions about life and about marriage. And in that area, in those areas outside, off the Blat Gemara, could be a complete and total idiot. This separation is felt very, very strongly by the generation. The people who we should be turning to for guidance and to understand what it means to be a Jew, pnimius, and inspiration, and hischaskus, and the aliyah, and all of that, they're supposed to be the people who are the great Talmid Chachamim and who are the leaders of the generation. Not where you have a division where you'll have great Lamdanim who are famous and well-known for their brilliance in learning, but the Olam has to go find other people from whom they could drink the waters of Yiddishkeit. Think about it. It's very, very bizarre. Can you imagine by Moshe Rabbeinu they say, no, I'm just... come to ask Moshe Rabbeinu about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about a relationship with Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, that's not my union, you know. You have to go talk to somebody, maybe, you know, go to Baal Tshuv Yeshiva, to go to Brestov or somebody. That I don't do that. Imagine Moshe Rabbeinu, or Eliyahu Navi, or Elisha Hanavi. I mean, until 150 years ago, 200 years ago, such a concept was unthinkable. It was unthinkable that there should be such an inyan like that. The Gedolei Yisrael, the leaders of our people, the great Talmid Chachamim, were those who had the expansiveness of the light of Torah and the emotional, spiritual kalim to guide Am Yisrael. And the fact that so many people nowadays are walking away with a feeling of emptiness, hearing a great Talmud Chacham and what he's saying, and with a sense that the Talmud Chacham is a tzaddik, he's wonderful, he knows how to learn, but he's completely out of touch with what's going on outside of the Beis Medrash and in my little life. So again, there are many Talmidei Chacham are very angry about these statements, and they're trying to stop these kinds of things from being said. But there's a growing sense, there's a growing feeling among many, many people, especially young people, because they're still interested and they still care, they haven't given up. Older people already, they might not even be looking b'chlal to their Rabbanim or to the Magidei Shia or whatever for that. They just give up on that. But the young people are still looking for it. Those who are still alive and have chiyas are looking for it. And there's terrible, terrible angry reaction on the part of some of the older leaders, so-called leaders, the words when they hear that out of touch. Okay, something which obviously no one likes he's very sensitive about these things. And officially, the way it's supposed to work is that the Gedali Yisrael, and those who are the greatest Talmid Chacham, are the ones who understand the Yiddish and the Shama, who understand the depths of the soul. But Rav Kook and others have been crying about this for a long time, that there is this terrible separation. And therefore, what you'll find in our generation more often than ever before is a scholar who is unbelievably well-versed in the ins and outs of halacha, but knows hardly anything about a neshama. About the neshama. As strange as that sounds, that's the metzius. And that people can get angry and scream, how could you say that, how could you say that, but without substantiating how that statement is not true. But it is true. It's a terrible problem. And that's what Rav Kook is talking about here. That because of this separation, that you'll have Jews who are not Talmidei Chachamim, who are looking for the depths of the neshama and of Yiddishkeit and so on, and who are not strongly connected to learning and strongly connected even to Shemiras and Mitzvahs. But then on the other hand, you'll have great scholars who are medaktik in Mitzvahs, but seem to be void of any understanding of Pnimius, of the light of Torah, Lemela, of what the meaning of the neshama is, it tafshin ayin gimel, not just to say things that they read in Sfarim from 100 years ago, 200, 300, 400 years ago, but tafshin ayin gimel, where a Jew is now, in tafshin ayin gimel, this separation is causing terrible, terrible pain to Klal Yisrael. And that's what Rav Kook says over here, that it has to become mukhra mefursam. It has to be clear to everybody that the address, shegedolei harayon shi Yisrael, that the great, those who are great in their understanding of Yiddishkeit and who are filled with a ruach elokim and are the ones who are responsible for teaching the deepest depths of Yiddishkeit, that these should dafke be chassidi Yisrael gedolei goyneim, that they should be the great Talmidei Chacham and the great Rabbanim. They should be leading us in all respects, and we should have those people to look up to as we always did, as we always have through the generations. Again, yeah, of course, there were certain exceptions. There are certain exceptions were there, but for the most part, this separation didn't exist. And even though, of course, there were great, great, great Talmidei Chacham who did not openly teach Pnimius HaTorah, but they were great masters of Pnimius HaTorah. Therefore, when they spoke to people, when they spoke to the Hamayin Am, they spoke from that perspective of great and exalted understanding of Pnimius, of Yiddishkeit. And they were able to guide Jews from that perspective, where they were standing on that high mountain of understanding the Pnimius of Yiddishkeit, as opposed to just knowing what to do, but to know what a Jew is. But over recent years, there's more and more, as Rav Kook is describing, of this separation. And many people are seeing this, that you'll have a boy that the Rebbe doesn't have a clue of what makes this kid tick, and he goes to a therapist, and the therapist does have more than a clue of what makes them tick. And then, of course, they get upset and they'll make statements that this is not for us, this is not for us, and we shouldn't be going to. So the kid should just do what? Jump off a bridge? He's got no one to talk to. So you'll have from the old guard, this is terrible, everything is in Torah, 100% everything is in Torah, but not in you. Everything's in Torah, but you left out a major chunk of Torah in your learning. You have deleted from your program the inner light of Torah, and therefore how could you understand the inner world of that kid? You don't. You understand the Blat Gemara, you're terrific, and Kol HaKavod, and you're respected and loved for that talent. And that's great. And you're God-fearing, and everything is great. Beautiful. But don't assume that you understand what makes that kid tick just because you're a brilliant scholar. It could have nothing to do one with the other. And to go around saying, but everything's in Torah, but you left out of the program a major part of Torah. And you apparently have not been able to extract from the Gemara of Bava Metzia any understanding of what this kid is about. Because the Gemara you were learning was talking about two people fighting over a piece of property or fighting over a cow. The kid's not a cow. So you don't know what's going on inside of him. You understand how cows react when they get upset. And you know the difference between a shamuad. You know the difference between when it's a shamud or a shartam. You know that it's a dangerous animal that gores, and it's more of an eidla behemoth that you understand. But that's not. This is a kid. So you're talking to him like a behemoth, because the sugi that you're learning is about behemoths. The sugi of who that human being is was not in the Gemara that you were learning. Is it alluded to in the Gemara? Yes, and if you would learn it in that way, you would find it in there as well. Everything's in Torah. But you didn't learn it that way. So why do you presume to know what makes that kid tick? Why do you presume to know what makes it? Why don't we could ask your wife if you know what makes her tick. Forget about that kid. But why do you presume to know what that kid is about? Just because you're a great expert in what and how animals gore each other. Well, they don't gore each other, so that makes you into a maven. So the answer would be, yes, because I'm learning Torah for 70 years. Kol HaKavod, again, that's beautiful. But you're missing a tremendous chelik of Torah. And you're not a person of expansive understanding. You're not what Rav Kook refers to, these people of Bala Histaklus Rechava. Bala Histaklus Rechava. Masters of a great expansive way of looking at things. You're not. And it's already Madregan to admit that. But it's very, very hard to find people to admit that. Very hard. Certainly, the person spent 50, 60, 70 years learning. And he's heard 10,000 shmuz, and he's given 20,000 shmuz about how Torah makes you into a person who's zarech l'dvar mahabe. And then this kid is falling apart, and he's telling me the reason that he's falling apart is because his hair is too long or something, or his pants are too tight, whatever it might be. He's not making enough seams or something. That's his problem in life. So it makes no difference if you're living for 70 years and you gave 70,000 shmuzim. You don't understand what this child is about. You don't understand. And it takes a tremendous amount of humility for a person of great learning to admit that he doesn't understand something. Especially when there are so many chazals that he could point to that seem to be saying that if you learn Torah, you know these things. When you learn Torah lishma, I mean, you learn all chelke ha-Torah, all parts of Torah, yizarech le-dvar m'harbe. And historically, our leaders were such people. And they were zeichem le-dvar m'harbe. They had tremendous, tremendous understanding of human nature, of Jewish nature. They understood aneshama. Because they were learning Torah Lishma, And they were also in the sugya of Pnimius HaTaira, which talks about what, which teaches what the neshama is. But for individuals who are not Isaac in that, not only that, but they will even pride themselves that they're not Isaac in that. I have no chelik in these things. That's not for me. That's not my Messiah, and so on. For those people who have no chelik in any of that, how could they talk about the neshama? In the rest of the world, you don't have such a thing. If a person's a zoologist, he doesn't write a prescription for a human being. No. If a guy's a veterinarian, he doesn't write a prescription he writes a prescription for dogs. But he doesn't write a prescription for a human being. Only in our world could a person be a veterinarian who's majoring in animals goring each other, but he writes prescriptions for human beings. It's a pachad. This is a recent thing. I don't mean last year. Rav Kook is crying about it. Let's just finish the sentence here. So he says, "Kimali deshin negadlus aizak a yuna chelik harayinish b'dosh kol achi yudaver mukher mufursim shegadoli harayin shiyisrael yudavke chasida yisrael gadol garnayim." That it has to be that everybody knows that that's the same address. The source of learning, the source of greatness in Torah, is the source of greatness in understanding of the premius of a person, the premius of the world. Va'oz yizdakechu harayinish atzmam. And in that way, and only that way, will the ideas, the concepts become clarified and refined and pure. Because when you leave the deeper concepts of Yiddishkeit in the hands of people who don't know Torah, that's dangerous. When you leave the depths of Yiddish and Neshama entirely in the hands, you'll excuse me, of professional social workers and therapists, that's scary. As wonderful as they are, and as educated as they are, but when you're leaving Yiddish and the Shamas completely in the hands of people who don't understand Torah, that's very dangerous. And the ideas that are coming out, even though they contain granules and even more than that of sweetness and of beauty, but they're also mixed with the dross of things that are not clear because they're not Talmid Chachamim. And therefore, everything is lacking a certain basis and rootedness in Teres Hashem. And it's hard to know what is true and what's not true. What's this person's own imagination and what's something which is Teres Hamas? It's very, very hard to know, to make a distinction. That person who's learning Torah Lishma, He's learning 30, 40, 50, 60 years on Torah Lishma. He's a Talmud Chacham, and he's packed with Pshat and Remez and Drush and so on, and Soid, and the secrets of Torah. There, the ideas that he teaches, that he writes about, that he talks about in public and to individuals, those ideas have been worked through. All the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, all the different sections of Torah, like Rav Kook's Torah, and they come out pure, as pure ideas of Torah. But what's scary is when you understand, when you have somebody who learned, and he even knows how to learn a little bit, and then he went on to this Medrash, he learned for 2 or 3 years in Karlal. And at that point, he already feels that he has the Das Torah to tell who to get engaged to who and who should break up with who and how to fix their marriage and so on. That's very scary. And he's telling his students that what I'm telling you is Das Torah. That's a very scary thing. And it's very, very scary, on the other hand, to have people who have no inkling of the truth of Torah, and they're telling you, they won't call it Das Torah, they're telling you that this is the truth, this is the absolute truth. So we have these two worlds that belong together in the minds and the hearts of our leaders, and as long as there's a separation, we're in big trouble. V'oz yizdakechu, when they join together, yizdakechu harayonis atzman, then the ideas, the concepts that are being taught will be refined in the light of Torah. And the Yeshua can open, the salvation can open, and will be ready and prepared for the great light of peace and bracha that's going to be revealed through Eliyahu HaNavi, Zechron Levracha. Ha'asir lasa shalom ba'olam. You see how he ends? But Eliyahu HaNavi. What's Eliyahu HaNavi doing over here? Why does he end with Eliyahu HaNavi? Because Eliyahu HaNavi is the one who's going to be making peace. Right? That's we know. We have a Kabbalah like that. The union of Eliyahu HaNavi is that he's going to bring peace. Is that he's going to bring peace into the world. He was an Eish Lahavi himself. He was a fire, but he's going to bring peace in the world. The peace here that Rav Kook is talking about is between these two worlds. The world, first of all, on a very very basic level, the world of simple Jews and the world of leaders to make peace. This is very much missing nowadays. To make peace. Peace doesn't just mean not to fight. That's not our definition of peace. It means in Pnimis, to Mekabim Day Midain, it means a fusion of things, a joining together to become one. And the peace that Rav Kook is talking about at the end is Eliyahu HaNavi, who is part of the, not just a part, but in certain ways, next to Moshe Rabbeinu, the most important part of the shalshalas of the chain of the Messiah of Kabbalah that we have from generation to generation. Because Eliyahu HaNavi never died. And therefore, we know from the Rambam and other Rishonim and the Mekubalim that we very much need Eliyahu HaNavi to come and to bring us back. He's that living connection that we have to Moshe Rabbeinu. And we very much need Eliyahu HaNavi to join together all of the split hairs of creation to make shalom. The shalom here that Rav Kook is talking about is the absurdity of our leaders and Talmid Chachamim thinking that they have no reason to engage in learning the deeper parts of Torah and in teaching the deeper parts of Torah. That there's no reason to make any connection between Nigla and Nista, Chitanius and Pnimius. That there is some sort of a milchama going on. That there's some type of a war that's going on. I didn't see this, but I shared this with a couple of guys on Yom Tov because somebody told me that there's some sort of a clip that they have of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Because they used to always have a camera going. So there are a lot of things that they have when the people used to come for bracha, for dollar. So I didn't see this, but somebody told me that it's on the computer. That there was apparently some sort of a lamdan, a scholar, that went to Lubavitcher Rebbe, and it was Yom Tov time. And he was asking how is it that the Lubavitchers don't sleep in a sukkah on sukkahs. The Lubavitchers, they don't sleep in the sukkah. Well, whatever reason, it goes back a long time. It's not like, it's not from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, it goes back. Okay, these are very great people. Again, it's a very complicated inyan. Okay, but they're great people, but they have an inyan. They don't sleep in the sukkah in Chabad. So here you have this lamb, and he came like from Eretz Yisrael. I don't know where he came from, America. I don't know. I didn't see it. But wherever he came from, he came and he has his 30 seconds with the Lubavitcher Rebbe, right? Exactly. He has that 30 seconds. And he comes with a, it's like Taina. How can Lubavitch, they don't sleep in the sukkah? So the person told me, I didn't see it. Did anybody here see it? He saw it? That the Lubavitcher Rebbe got very upset. And Lubavitcher Rebbe said to him, you know, he named certain Jewish famous Torah organizations, and he said, what have they done? There are hundreds of thousands of Jews, millions of Jews in the world, have no shaykhis to Rabbi Shalom. And what are they doing for them? The only problem that you have is that we don't sleep in the sukkah. Like, that's what's missing in your life. Like, how come we don't sleep in the sukkah? This is what's troubling you. You can't fall asleep in your sukkah because We don't sleep in the sukkah. This is what's bothering you. Not that there are millions of Jews all over the world that don't have a shaykes to Yiddishkeit. What did you do? What do you do for them? You know, I didn't see it, but this is what I was told was the teichen of what the Rebbe was saying, and he was very angry. What do you do for that? What do you do for Yiddish? What do you do to, between Jews and the Baruch Shalom? What do you have? It's a very, very powerful. It's a very, very powerful commentary on what's going on, where there's such a lack of shalom, meaning of a connection between the ins and outs of Yiddishkeit, that for that individual who's asking it, he never even most likely considered that there's any Indian like that. What does he have to do with some Jew that's traveling around in Arkansas without a tallis and tefillin, without a piece of kosher food, without a pair of tefillin, without a Shabbos, without the Rabbanu Shlom? What's my Indian? What's his Indian is the sugya and the Gemara, that the pashas of the sugya is you have to sleep in the sugya, and maybe you could find for me in learning how come. So I guess whatever the Rebbe is always very, very, he was such a tzaddik, and he always, but I guess he was hearing that for the last 70-80 years. It got to him or something, he answers strongly because he knows that this is the problem we're talking about. So let's say this, I don't know who this person was, but let's say it's a person who knows how to learn a Blat Gemara. So you know how to learn a Blat Gemara. And that's good. But that Blat Gemara hasn't opened your eyes to see that there's a whole world of Jews that's lost. Whose grandchildren are Goyim. They're not Jews anymore. They're not Jews anymore. You know, when do these people open their eyes? When it's their grandson. Chas v'shalom. But otherwise, the question is, aren't you chayav to sleep in the sukkah? Now, of course, no one loved to talk in learning more than the Lubavitcher Rebbe. You could talk to him in learning. He was a guy in Olam. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe understood that this wasn't an inyan of talking and learning. And that's why I was told that he said to him that by the Tzemach Tzedek and Rabbi Yitzchak Volozhiner, they made shalom. And you're still coming. You're still coming 200 years later. A misnagid. Like, you know, you have problems with the Chassidim not sleeping in the sukkah. It wasn't good that Rabbi Yitzchak Volozhiner and the Tzemach Tzedek already were best friends. That's not good enough for you. Because he saw that it was a shtoch. Like, how come you don't sleep in the sukkah? If it's a question of talking and learning, the Bible wrote it, we have sikhs from on the subject of sleeping in the sukkah. He wrote about it, and he spoke about it, about the Lubavitcher Indian of not sleeping in the sukkah, and learning. But that wasn't what this lamdan was about. He was there to give a shtach. And that's what the Bible Rebbe said. And when I see it, I didn't see it, but if I see it, I'll understand better. I'll try to see what it is. But that's what the Lubavitcher was saying, is that what about Yiddishkeit? I'm trying to do something about Yiddishkeit. What about Yiddishkeit? Yiddishkeit is not just about sleeping in the sukkah, not sleeping in the sukkah. And and you'll forgive me if you're speaking in a prost way, if there are Jews who are sleeping with non-Jews, that's a bigger problem than not sleeping in the sukkah, no? Do you all agree? I'm sorry for talking in a coarse way. That's probably a bigger problem. Even that Rav would be masking, that's a bigger problem than sleeping and not sleeping in the sukkah. But Elyonavi is going to make shalom. So Elyonavi, who was greater in learning than Elyonavi? That is mamish, a living piece of the chain to Moshe Rabbeinu, who had all of Torah, and he's our connecting link to all of Torah Shabbal Peh. Elyonavi. But at the same time, who was like Elyonavi? A Baal Soid, a fire in Eish Lahava, of the deepest pneumias, of the deepest secrets of the Bari Olam. Elyonavi is not just going to make shalom with two friends who had a fight. That's good. Parents and children, that's good. But it's going to bring all the different parts of Torah back together in us, that there won't be this milchama, this separation. There won't be this inyan that a Jew could say, I have no chelik in this part of Torah. Just like he's not allowed to say, I have no inyan with another Jew. I have no chelik. If you say you have no chelik in a part of Torah, it means you have no chelik in other Jews. It's the same thing, because the Torah kuchibuchi is so varaisi. If not, and to say, chelik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chas v'shalom. That's what I was talking about, the as far as the human beings who are with him. And again, I'm not, and it should be very, very clear that I'm not in any way making a comment about any numbers on who and what, but this is a problem. It's a problem. It definitely is a problem. Not to have a musig of that person that's sitting across from him. It's a huge problem. No. As I said, it could very well not be his fault at all. He was told thousands of times that you're not supposed to look at anything other than the Black Gemara, and he accepted that. Hashem Yisbach gave us, in our generation in particular, different eitzes, but it has to be done with great caution and with great care. Obviously, mixed into all of these teachings, there are all types of things that are not speaking to a Yiddish and the Shama, and they're not about a Yiddish and the Shama. They were written about human beings that don't have Nishmas Yisrael, and because they were written about human beings who don't have a Nishmas Yisrael, there's a certain limitation. And there could be terrible confusion. And because of that, as I said before, and that's what Rav Kook is saying, is that on the other hand, when we have people who are not Talmidei Chachamim and don't know how to discern, so somebody will take all of his courses in psychology and he'll buy everything that he reads, you know, and he hears. And he's not on a level of understanding of Torah to sort out what part of what I heard in graduate school or what part of what I read in this book is not about Nishmas Yisrael. You have to know a lot of Torah to be able to do that. That's a scary thing. So there's certainly Chochmah B'Goyim Tamim. There's certainly great Chochmah there. And we certainly have to access the Chochmah that Hashem has brought down into the world, for sure. That's why Rav Kook says we need our leaders, who are great scholars of Torah, to be able to lead us. Because who else is supposed to be able to sort out and to separate what belongs and what doesn't belong in a Jewish home, what belongs in a Jewish heart and what doesn't belong in a Jewish heart, if not the Gedolei Yisrael? But if we're going to have a situation where you talk to a person who's great in learning, but he doesn't seem to have the most rudimentary, simple understanding of human nature, it's a pachad. It's a pachad. So we need to access what Hashem Yisbarach has brought down into the world. But we need people who are great in their understanding of Torah to be able to help guide us of what is it that we're supposed to be, what are we supposed to be using from psychology, what parts of psychology can help a Jew, and what parts should we stay away from. What type does that we need? What type of music should we listen to? What type of music should we not listen to? We always turn to the Gedolei Yisrael to tell us. And it's become less obvious that the address to answer these questions is davka by people who are great scholars, who are great in learning. It's not so obvious, because it's not true in many situations. That just because a person is great in learning does not mean that he has much of an understanding of anything else necessarily. How could that be? How could that be? The Torah says, Ha'esiv Gitar Lishma, or learning Torah Lishma is Zarech L'Dvaram Harbe. So like we learned at the very beginning, we started as a Torah. Either it's not learning, either the Torah is not being learned Lishma. Is it being learned with Gaiva, Yeshus, or something else? Not L'Shem Shemaim, not L'Shem HaTorah, or not for the purpose of Dveikus B'Hashem. Or the person is just simply has never ever ventured beyond the Gemara Rashi Taisus. So that means that he's neglected a major part of Torah Hashem. And because he's missing that, like they're saying, look, I wouldn't operate on somebody's, God forbid, on someone's heart if I only studied like the toes. I have to be crazy. So they're rolling some guy in for a heart operation, and I'm standing there with a scalpel, and they say, hey, what are you doing over there? So I'm going to operate. This guy needs to have a heart transplant. Yeah, but you majored in toes. Or you majored in noses. So yeah, but you know how it is. The heart's connected to this. This bone's connected to that bone, like the old song, you know. So, I can work my way around the heart. Also, I saw when I was in high school, I did biology, and in medical school, we had a few classes on the heart. I saw some pictures. So, pass over the scalpel. I mean, you're out of your mind. You're missing a certain chelik of the body. So what right do you have to operate on this guy's heart? You don't know the heart. That's not a good question. It's a good question. So I ask the same question. What right do you have to operate on the heart of a Jewish child in yeshiva if you don't know the heart? What right do you have to operate on his heart? On his learning? 100%. On his mind, as far as the Black Gemara? 100%. You're terrific. Terrific. But you're giving him aitzes about life, and you're telling him about his heart and about his avoida and so on. What is dangerous as putting a scalpel into the hand of this guy to operate on the heart? The guy's a dentist, and he's gonna do a heart transplant or something. Everybody would say that's insanity. But this is happening kaseder. Somebody learned in yeshiva a few years. He gets up. He has seventh grade boys, and starts to tell them what he considers to be Das Torah when he learned a couple of Black Gemara, and he knows a couple of alumdashah pieces in the Reb Chaim's and Reb Akiva Eges, and all of a sudden he's operating on this kid's heart. Is there anything as scary as that? In whose hand are we putting the scalpel? Who's holding the scalpel that's operating on our children? Who's operating on our children's hearts? Who? When did they major? What did they major in? So the typical answer will be, when you learn Torah, Torah gives you all of that. Again, I'll repeat, Torah Lishma, which means whatever it means, whether you want Reb Chaim Volozhiner or you want Chassidim, Torah Lishma, that's not easy. That's a big madrega, especially if it means Dveikus Bashem, that your learning was for the purpose of being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that you also majored in that section of Torah that addresses the heart. But you did not. You admit, you'll say, Ein lo chelek min hasdaros. So the guy's standing there, and he's holding the scalpel, he's about to perform a heart transplant, he says, Ein li chelek, I have no portion in the knowledge of the heart of a human being. Please pass the scalpel. I mean, he's saying, Beferish, I have no knowledge, I have no experience in the human heart. I am now going to operate. But you see, I have no chelik ben nistaris, I don't know anything about Pnimis Atayra, but I am now going to tell you what to do with your life. I'm going to tell you what makes you tick, who you are. Can you please tell me what's a nefesh ruach, what's the difference between nefesh ruach, neshama chaya yechida? Please tell me what it means. I'm operating, I can't talk. Or don't be mechutzah, something like that, whatever. But what? Since when can you have such an operation? But this is a ma'aseh b'chol yom. As we speak, this is going on. There are people who are operating on our children, our grandchildren, who never ever read that part of the material, who never ever saw that material, who themselves never ever had a shaykhus to the Indian of Shavis Hashem like this on. And they're operating on our children and our grandchildren. So Elyonov is going to make shalom and bring together all the chalokim of who we are and all the chalokim of Torah. It's very, very important to just make a ha'ara that was not by the Vilna Gaon, and that was not by Reb Chaim Volozhiner and the Talmidim of the Gra. It happened in the following generation. As you know, Reb Chaim Volozhiner just opened up Nefesh Chaim. Reb Chaim Volozhiner was on fire with panemias, and he taught it openly. I say openly. That doesn't mean that he had a blog or something. But he had talmidim, and he was giving it over, and he wasn't ashamed or embarrassed. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner wasn't walking around saying Ein lanu chelek min hasdaros. Something very, very, very odd happened in the generation of the grand students. And that is a very, very serious question. Rav Kook addresses it in his letters in a number of places. That's a very serious question, what happened over there. It never happened by the Sfaradim, right? Never happened by the Sfaradim. Only now, where you have Sfaradim who are wannabe yeshivish types, you know. So then you have a new thing by some svarim that they're talking like the yeshivas or sprach, like that we don't have a chelik in this, which is so odd, so not by the svarim, that by then there was never an inyan of there not being sholem between these parts of Torah. The svarim never had an inyan like that. They openly spoke and taught, and it was everything was on the table by the svarim. Only now you have, this is the hashpah of the intimidation of Chlal, part of the intimidation, a part of the looking down at svarim. Also, it's a very, very involved thing. As far as what happened with Ashkenazim, that's a very, very, very big question. And you're right. In many ways, it was a reaction, and it had to do with a certain suspicion and fear. And we always have to keep in mind, historically, to keep things in context of when that happened. And that happened at a time when Pnimius and the learning of Pnimius brought Am Yisrael almost to a complete churban. That's what happened. These were Jews who lived in the aftermath of Shabbat Tzvi. And even, and Shabbat Tzvi and others that can't even say their names. I mean, it's not good to say Shabbat Tzvi either, Yimach Shemai, but there are others that were worse. And we don't know what that feels like. We don't know what that was like. And therefore, the Tzemach Tzedek himself, as I've mentioned in the past, the Tzemach Tzedek is brought down, the Torah Tamimah brings down in his biography. Not in his biography, in his memoirs, Achrayinus. He brings down that it was known by the Misnagdim that Tzemach Tzedek, who became very close to Reb Yitzchak Volozhiner, Reb Chaim's son, because at that point they said, listen, fellas, we're all fighting against the Haskalah, could we just, you know, get our act together? So at that point in time, he brings down there, the Torah Tamim brings down, that he heard from his father, from the Aruch HaShulchan, by the Misnagdim, that Tzemach Tzedek himself said that if not for the Hisnagdis, Chassidus itself could have gone totally off. It could have morphed into that horrible Shabtzei Tzvi thing. It could have gone off. So there was Hashgacha Pratis that was working to create that division, like all Nisyonis. At that time it was necessary, just like the Mar Nevuchim was necessary in the Rambam's time. But what was necessary then is already now has become a mach, has become a sickness. And that's what Elyonovi has to bring together, those two worlds, like Rav Kook wrote about in his letters, of the Gra and the Baal Shem Tov. Those two worlds have to be brought back there. They were originally put together. What the Gra reacted strongly, of course, the Gra, that was also Hashgacha Pratis. Chassidus could have only been saved by a person of the Gra's stature. You hear what I'm saying? The Vilna Gaon saved Chassidus. The Vilna Gaon saved Chassidus. Because if it had been a lesser person of the Vilna Gaon, then it wouldn't have been heard. It wouldn't have had the impact. And the Chassidim, like that's what the Tzemach Tzedek was saying, the Chassidim could have gone into the wrong place. There was such an Ur, and the word Kalim. There was such a light of the Baal Shem Tov, and the Kalim were not yet developed, and it could have been such a Shemir Kalim, like Shabbat Tzvi, but much worse than Shabbat Tzvi. It could have been such a Shemir Kalim. So only a person who has such Kalim like the Gra could come out with such a thing as Hashgacha Pratis. How come the Goyim didn't agree to meet with the Baal Tanya? The Goyim can't meet with another Jew. Right? The Baal Tanya and Mendel Vitebsky went to meet him. The Goyim can't sit and talk to two Jews, Talmid Chachamim. How could it be? My whole life this bothers me. What they say, that there are all different stories of what happened, that his mother was the one that told him to climb out the window, and the girl listened to his mother. All these different things. How could it be? He wouldn't sit, he can't give a half hour to two people are coming, that the Talmid Chachamim. It's only Hashgacha Pratis. There's no way to understand why didn't the Goyim, because we know that if the Goyim would have sat and listened to the Baal Tanya and to Reb Mendel Vitebsky, they would have made a L'chaim, they would have spoken a bit, it would have been a Shniach finished. That would have been it. So what was the Hashgacha? That the Goyim couldn't listen to the Baal Tanya to hear him out? Since when doesn't a Jew hear? You'll listen even to a Rasha, give him a chance to say what he has in his mind, and then shlug him up. But the Goyim ran away, that he wouldn't listen to, that he wouldn't be able to look at the Tanya, to look at Reb Mendel Vitebsky. We don't understand such a thing. You see that there was a Kadosh Baruch Hu was making such a thing in order to save Chassidus, to save the life of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. But there are now many, many, many casualties. And the time is long past that we should already men this Sibrachenkeit in Klai Yisrael, which is the coming of Mashiach. That's the image of Mashiach Sekein, to bring these two together, Mashiach Medav, Mashiach Ben Yosef, Chachman Bina. That's what we have to prepare. And that was left, Hashem wanted that to be left to our generation, to this time, to make this tikkun. Hashem Yisbarach left it up to us to make these tikkunim. And that's what Chukuk was crying about. That's what he was talking about. And that's how I do. We should be zeichem as a shem to see it.